Radio presents The War Room, where we discuss tactics for strategic Christian living.
Mighty Lord, extend your kingdom, be the truth with triumph crown. Let the lambs that sit in darkness hear the glorious gospel sound.
Well, welcome to The War Room. This is Bill Evans, your host. I've got Luke Saint from Reading, Pennsylvania, on the other end of the line. I'm down here in Atlanta, Georgia. But Luke, welcome to the War Room.
Thanks for having me, Bill. Thanks.
For those who don't know, Luke is he's the fourth son of Joel Saint. And Luke is one of the newest additions to Reconstructionist Radio. We just aired his premiere episode of Streetwise Theology. Yeah. So I wanted to give Luke a chance to talk about himself a little bit, tell you about his what it was like for him to grow up in a large family. Were you homeschooled, Luke?
Yeah.
And when did you discover that you were you always a Christian Reconstructionist?
No. When I was listening to recently, I listened to the other podcast on Reconstructionist Radio about the worldview media, and the host on there. Oh, what's his name? I forget his name, but he was talking about how
Gordon.
Yes, Gordon Runyon. He was talking about how every Reconstructionist, they kind of have a book or a person that did it for him. You know, he asked the other guy on the phone, like, what was it for him? And Gordon Runyon said, I think it was like, Gary, you know, 74 or 75 questions your pastor doesn't want you to ask him. And I thought about that question, too. Like, when was the turning point for me? And that was when I read, you know, growing up with my dad, he was always talking about stuff like that. And I kind of had a grasp on it, but, you know, from the poor teaching of, you know, the institutionalized church, I never really got a very good grasp on it. I just assumed that the world was going to hell in a handbasket and, you know, just save as many people as you can. But when I read, my dad recommended to me, you're going to hear me quote my dad a lot in this because I steal a lot of my stuff from him, but when my dad told me to read, the book was How Christianity Changed the World, by Alvin Schmidt. And after I read that book, the logical conclusion of the application of the gospel and of Christ's word and his word going out into the world, it became clear to me that the church should be victorious, the church must be victorious, the church has been victorious, and it will be victorious in time and history and space. And not only that, I knew that the Bible pointed to that, but I couldn't really wrap my head around it. But when I started reading that book is when I started to really get like a feel for it as well.
Now, you're a single man. How old are you?
I'm 30.
And never been kissed, right?
No, I've been kissed.
I think the first time I met you was down at the Bodkins.
Yes.
And you were given a little bit of your testimony.
Yes.
And which is not the typical testimony that you hear a young, good-looking, virile, athletic UPS driver, no less. And folks, if you don't know, that's hard work.
Yeah. Especially in the snow. That's when it gets nasty.
But now tell us about your podcast and now you have an entertainment analysis component to it, but that's not all you're doing. You're sort of hosting sort of a Reconstructionist variety show, aren't you?
Yeah, actually. There's a couple different things. One is I do essays. I also do critiques of podcasts and of articles. And I also do a roundtable discussion with my dad and another member of the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society, John Bingaman. And I also do media, movie reviews and analysis and entertainment through that aspect. And the purpose of it really is I'm kind of doing what I wish I had growing up in the church that I grew up. I wish I had somebody telling me this stuff so that I didn't have to figure it out by myself, really. I mean, it was really my dad who pointed me to a lot, but I know that if I had a podcast with somebody just explaining things and pointing certain things out that I just never considered, I would have really appreciated it. So I'm trying to do the same thing for my sphere of influence and Lord willing, beyond.
Now, do you attend where your Reformation Bible Church there, where your dad's pastoring?
Independence Reformed Bible Church? No, I do not. Sometimes I go there. I attend a church called the Church at Exeter, which is, you know, obviously in Exeter, Pennsylvania. I help lead worship there. I play guitar for them. I've been doing that for about 6 years now. They're not a Reconstructionist church, but I hope to. It's for most Reconstructionists, if you're not at a Reconstructionist church, you're either influencing that church in a Reconstructionist way, or you just haven't been kicked out yet. So I'm hopefully trying to be a positive influence in the church that I attend to be a voice for the Reconstructionist movement.
Now, just an aside, how is it that you picked that particular assembly to be a part of? Was it just geographically?
Back in the day, before I really had like a hold on all of this, on postmillennialism, and before I could, you know, have a debate with somebody about it, my brother came to me and said there's a church that was getting started on the other side of Reading, Pennsylvania, and he told me that they needed a guitarist. So I went over there and I started playing guitar for him, and ever since then I've just been with them. You know, the worship team over there, some of my best friends, and I think I've had some light bulbs come on, you know, when I've sat down and talked to them and challenged them on their theology, and I hope to continue to do that now and in the future, since we just actually merged two churches together. We merged our church and another church that was kind of dwindling. We put them together, now we meet in their building. So it's a kind of an exciting time, and a time that I hope to be as good of an influence, because those people, obviously, you know, they're not Reconstructionists, but they've still been a good influence on me. So I hope to be as much of a good influence on them as they have been on me.
Now, are they Reformed, the Calvinistic? Are they
charismatic? Yes. Okay. Yes. They're Reformed. You know, not the most deep church you've ever been to. I'm pretty sure that a lot of Reconstructionists would not like going there, and I understand that. They're not very deep, but my pastor, I have a lot of respect for my pastor, and I have a lot of respect for the people that I minister with and a lot of the congregants who attend there. And that's why I'm trying to be a positive influence to them.
What are you hoping to? You mentioned you wished you'd had a podcast growing up. I don't know that I've ever heard that before.
Right.
I think I probably would have rather had a pony or a rifle.
Yeah.
But why Reconstructionist Radio? What are you hoping to accomplish? Are you going to recruit your own audience? Are you going to just borrow from ours?
Well, first off, I think it's true that there's nothing going on in Reconstruction in the Northeast of this country. I mean, I'm sure you probably know a lot more than me, but a lot of people are surprised to find out there's anything going on in Pennsylvania, like, you know, up there in the North and the Northeast, everything's going on out West, everything's all going on down South. So, you know, I want this to be an extension of the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society. I'm probably going to feature people on my podcast from Mid-Atlantic Reformation. I mean, I already have. And I want to be that to be an extension, a tool by the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society to be used by them to further the kingdom of God in, you know, whatever way we see fit. And that if that is people from the society being on my show, or maybe they'll write an essay and I'll just read it. But I want this to be kind of an arm for the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society. But growing up, you know, there are things when I listen to podcasts, when I listen to Bo Marinov, and I want to listen to you, and I listen to, you know, some of these other podcasts. One of them is Cy Ten Brugge. When I watch his stuff, it's amazing. I'm so glad you had him on the show the other day. When I listen to that, and the light just comes on, and I'm like, why did it take this long for this basic information to get to me? You know, why did it take so long? You know, this makes so much sense, but why did it take so much long for this to get to me? And so I want to use my podcast to you know, I grew up in a church that was ivory tower theology. It was not applicable. It was all well and good for when we were in church, but as soon as we stepped out the door, it's like, okay, what do I do now? And I wish I had something growing up that was, an applicable application theology that spoke to current events, that spoke to what other people were saying, that addressed issues in a way that our pastors, unfortunately, they're just not doing it. They're not doing it. You know, you go to your basic church, you're not going to, you know, one of the things I talk about on when it comes to Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society, one of the things we talk about is, you know, if we're arguing about it on Facebook, you better believe we're going to be talking about it at Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society when we do our presentations. If you get in an argument about this on Facebook, it's a sign when people argue on Facebook that people want to talk about this, they need to talk about this, they need to hear about it, and they want to be heard and they want to hear other people. But it's like almost a sign that if people are arguing about it on Facebook, you're not going to hear about it in church. Well, why is that? You know, you're not going to hear about it in church. Church has become a safe space for Christians. In the institutional church, and I realize there are many exceptions, thank the Lord to that, but I think the rule is the church is a safe space. And I wish growing up that there was something that I could go to say, wait a second, you know, okay, this thing that happened with United Air, okay, is someone going to address that? You know, all this bombing that's going on in Syria, is someone going to talk about that? And Reconstructionist Radio is a wonderful thing because, you know, as soon as something happens, next thing you know, next week there's a podcast about how the Bible applies to that event. And when you go to church, you don't hear about it. So I want to be a positive influence to my friends and my sphere of influence, and I want to address these issues as soon as they come out, pretty much, and be a Reconstructionist. Look at this stuff from a Reconstructionist standpoint in a way that I never had growing up.
Yeah, well, if you want to be I want to give a bit of advice. If you want to promote your program, you got to get some T-shirts.
T-shirts.
Yeah, get T-shirts, and hopefully you will be able to. Not that you're looking to become a celebrity or anything like that, but hopefully,
right.
The fact that you're doing a podcast is part of a larger effort to hopefully lend, you know, what little bit of credibility we can give to your efforts.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully you will be able to use that as a vehicle to communicate some of these concepts to.
Yes.
Friends and our associates at Exeter.
Yes.
And now how do you classify yourself now at your age? Now you're sort of a you're kind of a jockey guy. I mean, you're kind of an extreme athlete. You're a runner or climber or you're a musician. So
yeah.
You wouldn't describe yourself as a hipster.
Oh no, thankfully not. Unfortunately, I am a millennial from the ever changing definition of millennials. I am pretty sure that I can continue to fall into that category. I am a millennial, unfortunately, but no, I'm absolutely not a hipster. I boycott that whole look and feel. You know, I can't grow a beard, so there's no worry there. And my hair is falling out, so again, there's no worry there. I'm never going to look like a fake lumberjack. That's impossible. So I think I'm safe from the hipsters. I don't want to ever learn how to smoke a pipe, and I never want to learn a theology that's not applicable. So I don't want to be a hipster Christian either in that sense. So like as far as athletics goes, I've been getting into the fun runs lately with Spartan races and Tough Mudders and stuff like that. And I got a group of people. My brother is one of them. Who's on the podcast when we do Agents of the Silver Screen, when we do movies, when we talk about movies, we like to do fun runs. We get a group of guys together, and so far last year we did a Spartan race, which was like 8 miles up and down a ski slope, and you know, we're hiking like a bunch of wild animals and doing all these obstacles, and you got to get in shape for that. So you know, we're working out all the time, preparing for these things. So in that sense, yeah, I mean, it's sometimes the workouts we do are a little extreme. You know, I ran 6 miles yesterday, and did a small workout after that. And a lot of people think that's extreme. For a lot of people, that's not extreme at all. If you're doing a Tough Mudder, you got to get ready for that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, other than that, yeah, just basic athletics.
Oh yeah. To be that age again. I used to do that.
I bet you.
When I got out of the Navy, I think I weighed 159 pounds. I was quite a runner.
Oh yeah, I remember seeing that picture of you that you posted a while back on Facebook. Yeah, were you a bosun?
No, I was a quartermaster, which is navigator.
Okay.
And so yeah, I got to see everything, but it wasn't. I got out of the military to go into the ministry, and then went to Bible college, and I had been a part of the navigators. We called them the Neverdaters, and which and so the, my first exposure to Christian womanhood was at
Yes.
Bible college,
Yes.
and it was kind of like I got, you know, dropped into the deep end of the pool, and
Yeah. Yeah.
you know, my just a little bit of my testimony is, you know, I'd already memorized, you know, hundreds and hundreds of verses of scripture, and had been
Right.
studying, and was already Calvinist. I was not Reformed, but I was Calvinist.
Yes.
And here I was in a Bible college, and you know, I guess I thought I was, you know, pretty hot, you know.
Yeah.
But that's where the I learned I wasn't a Calvinist, and I dropped back out and spent about 25 years in the wilderness.
Right, yes.
But tell me the part about being a Christian womanhood. You're being a single eligible Christian man,
Yes.
and having been a part of a large family and homeschooling. Other than just trusting in the providence of God, what are young men doing to change their marital status?
Well, first off, I'm not single. I'm dating a girl named Shay, and she's from Arkansas. So I'm dating her. She's a fellow Lord of the Rings nerd, as I am a huge Lord of the Rings nerd. And actually, she put me to shame the other day when I was asking her questions, and she goes way deep into the lore behind Lord of the Rings. A lot of people think that's nerdy. I think it's hot. But so I'm dating her right now. But as far as, you know, what are the, you know, the single Christian men doing to, you know, find these Christian women? You know, thank the Lord, for things like, you know, I'm going to say this, a lot of people, I remember thinking about like 10 or 15 years ago, this was embarrassing to say, but it's not embarrassing anymore. We have things like eHarmony. We have things like even, I shudder to say it, but it's true, Christian Mingle. You know, these things are things that Christians are turning to now because once you get out of college, the place to meet people where the pagans all hang out are bars and their clubs. And I, you know, I can't go there. I'm not looking for a wife at a bar and a club. You know, I'm not out to the missionary date. And most Christian men who get it through their thick skulls that they shouldn't be missionary dating are not looking in the bar scene or the club scene either. And you know, you can only go to so many churches, you know, and then feel like a fake Christian just because you're going to church to find a wife. So, you know, you have to resort to things like eHarmony. You have to resort to like online dating. It's pretty much the answer to the single Christian man out of college. His question. That's the answer to his question.
So
So I met her on eHarmony.
what was Shay's response to Christian Reconstruction?
Shay's response to Christian Reconstruction is a listening ear. She is a listening ear. We have discussions about it pretty often. But she gives me a listening ear, and she has objections, obviously, and she's not a Calvinist. So you know, I'm working on that. Shay, if you're listening to this, you know, please become a Calvinist. I'm just joking. But here's what I'm the thing about that is, as far as she's concerned, she's always been a listening ear, very supportive of my podcast and my views, actually, to boot.
Well, you know, best advice I ever got is don't ask the Lord for a Christian wife, ask him for a godly wife.
Bingo. That's right. That's right. Very godly.
So we'll be praying for you, and how many sisters do you have?
I have three sisters. They're all married. One has two kids. The other one has one, and my third sister has one that is still in the womb. So they're all taken. I still have, let's see, I have two eligible brothers right now.
Now, have your sisters met Shay?
Yes, they have. My whole family has met Shay. Yes. Yep.
All right. Well, we'll get off that topic because you're probably a little bit uncomfortable. I don't want you to give away anything. But wanted to have you on, and now you're going to be there at obviously the Future of Christendom.
Yes.
Conference.
Yes, I will be there, yes.
And I'm planning on probably doing another podcast with your dad to just kind of promote that, and hopefully we're going to get a big bump here right before the registrations close out in the final weeks before. But let me ask you another personal question.
Yeah.
How have you, and I'm not going to embarrass you by asking for stats.
Right.
But have you led men to Christ?
Personally, I have led, as far as my own personal relationship with people, I have led one person that I know of to Christ.
Are you involved in any kind of mentoring or discipling relationships with any men?
Nothing that's in, and I hesitate to use this word because it's abused, but nothing that's like necessarily intentional right now. I sometimes, you know, being a Reconstructionist, and we come off, you know, like Scott Allen Buss says, you know, like fire breathing Christians. People aren't exactly, you know, so some people are hungry for that, and some people just aren't. So I routinely witness and go out to eat with friends that I have from work and try to, you know, show them the gospel, teach them the gospel. And I also hang out and pray with my friends that I go to church with. You know, it's not necessarily something that's scheduled. Sometimes I have, there's a Bible study I attend. I've led it before, but a good friend of mine leads that one. So there are things where I do serve, but nothing in an official capacity of where I have younger men that I'm mentoring.
Do you have one best wingman?
Do I have one best wingman? Are you talking about when it comes to the girls, or are you talking about when it comes to, like, my best friend?
No, I wasn't thinking of Top Gun. I was thinking more like I was thinking of, in terms of ministry, somebody who says, hey, Luke, let's go out and do some evangelism, or let's go, or somebody who goes with you if you're going to be involved in abolitionist activities, or just a guy that is closer than a brother, you know, somebody who is on the same wavelength as you, and not necessarily even theologically, but a guy who is always ready to go if you give him a call and say, hey, let's do this.
Yes, actually, I do. That's a friend of mine who that Bible study that I talked about, his name is Tim Hogan. And he is, if I was to call him up and say, I mean, he's got a wife and two kids, but, you know, he's not afraid of any sort of ministry. If I wanted to go street preaching with him, he would come along and he would either lead it or he'd help me lead it. And he's a very brave and outgoing individual. And if I were to ever say, hey, do you want to come with me to protest an abortion clinic? I've never asked him that, but I'm pretty sure that he would come. So, and also my brothers would come with me. I know my brother Wyatt would, my brother Wes, Dave, Brad and Jeff would definitely come. And I know my sisters would come. And I'm pretty sure my brothers-in-law would all come too if I ever asked them. Tim's not necessarily like my go-to guy, but I know that if I ever needed one, he would be there.
No, when I was in the Navy, my best, closest bud he was a rank and file Armenian, and even dabbled at one point with sort of United Pentecostalism, he recovered from that. But nevertheless, he was the guy that God used in my life in terms of accountability.
Yeah.
And when I needed somebody for quiet time, but I will say that of course the military is unique in terms of the proximity of your life, transparency with other men in close quarters, and so it breeds those kinds of relationships, and you seek it out because you're surrounded by pagans all the time.
Yes.
But I would say that if I were going to ask anybody, any Reconstructionist or any Christian period of any stripe, was going to ask them, one or two or three questions to get sort of get a barometric reading on their life, it would probably have something to do with either scripture memory or relationships. Who are they discipling, or who's discipling them?
Yeah.
Because ultimately, all the books, all the blogs, all the conferences don't amount to a hill of beans if we're if we're not reproducing.
Yes, that's right. Preach.
So anyway, I just thought I would ask you that since I had you on the hot seat here, and and I realize that when you're in your own on your own podcast, you're going to be talking about the topic du jour, and not necessarily, and that's not going to be Luke,
right.
necessarily, unless you know you're having True Confessions Day or something. But
it would be very entertaining.
So, what are you like me? Do you read in books, or are you? Or do you tend to be reading a book and then knock it out and then go to another one?
I haven't done as much reading as I used to do. What I do nowadays is sermon audio is a big thing. Reconstruction Radio Podcast Network is a huge thing for me. And also, this might sound shallow, but, you know, a lot of internet articles, you know, I go over a lot of those too. I read those. I read what the pagans are saying. I read what the Christians are saying. Watching what's going on with this whole AHA versus the world debacle, you know, that kind of stuff. I watch what's going on there. I read the articles that AHA puts out, and I try to read the articles that the haters, if you will, it might be a strong term, but I try to read those articles too. And that's also another reason why I want to do the podcast, because I love AHA. I think I said this in a podcast I did, I recorded last week. I think Russell Hunter's probably one of the greatest men I've ever met in my life. And, I love AHA, and I want to support them with my podcast as well. Obviously, they're not perfect. There's a lot of weirdos in there, but I just love what they're all about, and I love what they're doing.
Well, your dad's a pretty great man, too.
My dad, obviously the most positive influence in my life about what I know and what my attitude towards life has been my father. You know, he, you know, was such a great father. And you know what you talked about, you know, growing up with nine kids. One thing that was so important that helped me get over a lot of things that I see a lot of my friends struggling with was my dad, when we were growing up, he cared more about justice than he did about peace. And that was huge. I think a lot of people don't understand that. When we had a problem, we'd go to my dad, and there was a lot of times the courtroom atmosphere was created out of nothing. And he would be the judge, and of course my older brother would be the executioner, and everyone who happened to be in the room at the time was the jury. So, what happened was, you know, when we had a problem, if we go to my mom, recently I just saw a video on Facebook about this mother who took her two children and she put them in a t-shirt and she put them in the same shirt and she made them slow dance with each other because they were annoying each other. And I thought, that's not justice for those two children. That's justice for the mother. My parents never did anything like that, you know, and my dad cared more about justice and the application, making sure that the children got justice rather than just saying, okay, look, everyone just be quiet and be friends for no reason. I just want you guys to be quiet. I see a lot of households, but growing up, that was so important to my relationship with my siblings, my relationship with my parents, knowing that I had a voice of justice in the house that I could go to. I was going to get it, and teaching me what justice is all about. I didn't know at the time it was very a biblical thing, but I only realized that once I grew up and looked back on what was going on in the house that my dad cared more about justice than he did about peace, and that was just unbelievably important in my mental framework growing up.
Yeah, that on an unrelated note, that might actually be a highlight of this interview. That's a pretty important tidbit.
Yeah,
for families with small children is making sure that in refereeing and navigating the whole.
Yes,
is making sure that justice that the children. Yes. Receive justice. That's an interesting concept, and I don't guess I'd ever even thought of that before. But that's pretty important.
Yeah, it was important, and my dad is really and obviously my mom was there too. She supported him, and you know she didn't care as much. She cared about justice, but she didn't care about it as much. My dad actually thought it was entertaining. He loved watching us, you know, argue with each other and debate with each other, and you know. A lot, even he looks back now and says, maybe I was a little unfair in my quote-unquote justice. But he was also very pivotal in the reason why I do movie reviews with my brother and a friend of mine, Joey Bainey. He was also very important because my dad, you know, growing up, you know, we were homeschooled, And every homeschooler that I know is in the movies, every single one, you know, unless they're unbelievably sheltered. Every homeschooler that I know, they want to talk about movies. They all have their favorite movies. You know, they absolutely love movies. And so I'm a Reconstructionist and I'm a homeschooler. So that's like a double whammy. I love movies, love talking about them. And my dad would come into the room when we were watching a movie and somebody would say something that flew way over our heads. And my dad would just roll his eyes and go, he's a communist. And we'd be like, what? You know, and he would sit down, he'd pause the movie and say, okay, what you're seeing here, explain it to us later. He'd trash the movie or praise the movie according to its philosophical view. But I realized later that my dad was weighing every single movie or every single point, even to the most mundane, he was weighing it against Scripture. He was throwing it up against Scripture to see what stuck and what fell down. And we as a result, growing up, now when we sit around, and even our in-laws, my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law, when we sit down, we talk about movies and we argue about them. We talk about what was great and what was bad. It's just a natural part of our lives. But my dad, you know, one of the reasons why we do these movie reviews is because my dad kind of started it by getting philosophical about pretty much every movie that we saw. So that was absolutely pivotal growing up in our household, that we could not watch a movie without, you know, it was never like a, you know, I don't like using this word again, like, you know, a teaching moment. My dad never sat down and said, okay, kids, I'm going to teach you something about this. It was natural. We just wanted to know what he thought. And it was never a teaching moment. It was a natural thing that happened. And so now when we watch a movie, we have to always weigh it against what Scripture says. We have to know our Scripture, and we have to always weigh the movies that we see against Scripture and trash it or praise it accordingly. And so that's just naturally carried over in my podcast.
Now, is this going to be like Fandango? It's going to be all new movies, new releases, or are you going to have old movies as well?
No, what we do is we do three segments. The first segment is what's called Three Little Picks, and that is since me, myself, and Dave, and Joey, what we do is we have option. We get to pick one of three, and the first option is It's the first one's called Suicide Watch, where we purposely go see a movie that we know is bad, and then we come back and review it. Second one is called Netflix Jam. This is where the old movies comes in. We will recommend a movie that a lot of people don't know about, but we think is really good. And as a matter of policy, in our Christianity, we do not recommend anything with sexual content. So that's called Netflix Jam, and the reviewer will say, this is a really good movie. You might not know about it, but here it is. And it might not necessarily be on Netflix, but this is a relatively new term within the last 10 years, this kind of term for a movie that a lot of people don't know about, but it's really good. It's called Netflix Jam. And third is called Getting Philosophical, where we take movies and we dissect them according to a biblical worldview. And a lot of times I try to do it from a Reconstructionist worldview. And we talk about the movies in light of Scripture. We rip them apart and we put them back together. That's the first segment. The second segment is called Big Ticket Item, where we will talk about a popular movie. We just recorded one last night, and we talked about Logan. And you know, we talked about Rogue One, and we talked about Split. And there are spoilers in there. So that's the second segment. The third segment is called Lists, where we will establish a list the month before, and we will come the first podcast we did, and the listeners will hear these in the next couple months when we release them. First podcast we did our top five greatest villains to ever hit the silver screen. The second list we did on our second podcast was three times you wish you could go into the movie and change what was going on. And this last night we did three movies and three actors that you could clap your hands and they were never movies or actors. They just stopped the three movies, never never made the actors. Instead of going to acting school, they went to become a biochemist or something like that. So those are the lists. That's the list segment that we do. So that's a podcast. That's the Agents of the Silver Screen podcast that I will be featuring on Streetwise Theology.
Okay, but Streetwise Theology is not going to be just movie reviews.
No, it is not. That's one podcast that I do probably once a month. You know, if you guys, Reconstructionist Radio do a weekly podcast, so that'll be one out of four.
So are you going to be doing a weekly podcast?
I'm absolutely going to be attempting to do that. Unfortunately, maybe I shouldn't have heard this, but the other day I was listening to Bo Marinoff's podcast, and he says, I have enough material to do the next 100 podcasts. I laughed at myself. I said, oh my goodness, I wish I had enough material to do 100 podcasts. But he does a 30-minute or 20 to 30-minute podcast once a week about, you know, this the cutting edge of Christianity that I'm just eating up every single word that he says. And you know, my essays are probably going to be about 10 minutes, and I probably have about maybe 5 or 6 that I can think of right now that I actually want to do. You know, and I'm praying that, you know, as time goes on, I'll get better about, you know, voicing, you know, or bringing up points or voicing my opinion about certain things. And, you know, as time goes on, obviously current events will allow for that. I'm hoping, Lord willing, but I'm not as smart as a lot of you guys on Reconstructionist Radio. And I hope that, you know, my material will always be relevant. And I hope that it's interesting. Podcasts are supposed to be interesting. And sometimes they aren't. I recognize that, but I'm hoping that, you know, my material is relevant and interesting, and most importantly, God honoring and kingdom furthering, if I can use that term.
Right. Well, have you seen this? I'm going to go back into the movies just for a second.
Hit me.
Because I just watched it the other night again. Book of Eli.
Book of Eli. Yes, I've seen that movie. Yes.
A pretty good movie. You know, one thing I've noticed about, by the way, I did a movie review with Gordon one week on Gods and Generals. One thing I found out about most homeschooling people who've been homeschooled is that they're Southern sympathizers to some extent.
Yes.
Or at least I should say they're anti-Lincoln. They're anti-statist, even though you're from Pennsylvania. I like to get that dig in there.
Well, it's true. I'm anti-Lincoln as well. I'm a Southern sympathizer in a big way.
Yeah, I think Paul Doerr, is the name of his business. He's up there in northwestern Iowa, and it's Copperhead Consulting, which great term for those who know. Well, what do you want to talk about? Anything?
Well. Here's the thing. You mentioned the Book of Eli, and I have to say that was at the end of the day, I think that was an anti-Christian movie. I think, and you may agree with me on this one, but you know, you mentioned that movie, and that one has a powerful message in it. One thing that I liked about Book of Eli was when he was quoting Psalm 23, and the girl said, "Well, that's beautiful," you know, and they did a really good job of putting scripture into a situation that scripture is hardly ever applied to in Hollywood, and that is post-apocalyptic scenarios. Whenever you see scripture in post-apocalyptic scenarios, usually it's by some crazy idiot who's sitting on the side of the road warning people of judgment and all that kind of stuff, and it's viewed as irrelevant, it's viewed as stupid, and it's viewed as annoying. But when he said it in this situation, it was at once relevant, and it was applicable, and it was beautiful poetry at the same time. And they did a really good job of expressing it that way. My big problem with that movie was at the end, they take the Bible, he recites it, spoiler alert for anyone who's seen it, but he takes the Bible and they put it in the book. Do you remember what book they put it next to?
Probably Origin of the Species.
No, it was the Quran.
Was it the Quran?
Yeah, they put it with the Quran. And I was like, okay, you know, that all that hard work that just went into it kind of is now lost because all you're saying is just a good book like the Quran.
Yeah, it was a mystical. The Bible had a mystical quality to it.
Yes.
Reason is I was just sitting around. I was watching some highlights of some movies the other night, and I was watching some highlights from that and Passion of the Christ and some stuff like that, you know. Right. And so I just thought I'd ask you about that one. But you're going to grow your audience. And I'm curious to know whether or not Reconstructionist Radio, because I know one of the things that we're trying to do is we're trying to get our own server. And that's going to, I guess, increase their capability somewhat. I'm wondering if it's ever going to metastasize into having live audio. That would be
call
interesting.
Oh my goodness. I don't know if any people would have the audacity to the people I'm listening to, it's like, how can you challenge these people? You know, and maybe that's just me. I'm probably ignorant in saying that, but I've seen the debates, you know, and it just seems like the Reconstruction is just shredding to pieces every single time. And I'm sure there's exceptions out there. I know there are exceptions out there. But if we ever had a live call-in show, oh my goodness, I would love to listen to that. I would absolutely love. I would be the first one to turn that on and crank it up. I would set aside my whole evening to listen to that.
Yeah. Well, I think the best thing that's come, you know, not to play favorites, but I think the best thing that's come out of Reconstructionist Radio, aside from the audiobooks, has been Axe to the Root. I think that was the most significant opportunity, is to get Bo into a situation where he's putting it out there and covering is such a broad range of topics.
His stuff is so good. I look forward every single week to his stuff, man. It's the cutting edge of Christianity, man. When he said that he had material for the next 100 podcasts, I was happy and intimidated at the same time. But I mean, I'm really happy that he is, because I want to hear every single one, you know, from now until 100 weeks from now.
Well, I'm going to ask Bo next time I talk to him, which should probably be before July. We get a chance to talk a couple times a month, sometimes every month. But instead of just giving book recommendations, reading list recommendations, I'm going to suggest that he start throwing out some applications, as well, because, again, that's, you know, knowledge puffs up, love edifies. I'm jealous. One of the things I'm jealous for is that two things. Number one is that we become a people of action, and that we become people of prayer. So I'm going to encourage you, number one, to do your interview and put you on the spot here on our once dead broadcast, which is all but defunct now because we haven't had anybody, and your dad's supposed to do one too. I would think that Christians would line up to give their testimonies. And in fact, I was telling your dad the other day, we were talking about things to do to make the corporate gathering of God's people more interactive. And I said, well, you know, you need to focus more on audience participation. In other words, you train them how to give their testimonies.
Yeah.
And around the gospel, and do it in 5 minutes, and then have them get up in front of the congregation and practice it.
Yes.
You know, I do hope that you can do, because you have an interesting testimony, in the sense, you didn't say this as much, but my guess is that you have been, as far as you know, you've been a believer almost all your life.
Yes, absolutely.
So, and I think, you know, now if you were Presbyterian, we'd have other things to talk about, but since you're not Credo Baptist, we won't go there.
Yeah.
but I think covenant children, or as we would call them, and with or without the sign, I think their testimony needs to be heard.
Yes.
And because that's hope for parents everywhere.
Yes.
And call to faithfulness. And so hopefully you can do that. And hopefully you can organize, take a time slot each week, you know, whatever night or whatever morning or whatever lunch break is good for you, and help organize a call-in time of intercessory prayer. Because I think we have to become praying people. We have to pray together. You know, if we're going to fight together, we got to pray together. And also praying with one another helps to keep the family squabbles down to a minimum, because it's kind of hard to, you know, to rip into a guy that you pray with and pray for.
that's a great point.
But so welcome aboard. I don't want to prolong it. I wanted to make sure. Now, what time slot, what day of the week are you going to be airing?
Jason and Dustin told me Fridays. They told me Fridays I was going to be airing. So they aired mine, my first one, this last Friday.
Well, you know why you're airing it on Friday? Because we didn't have enough people lined up to do the testimonies on Friday. Friday was going to be once dead. But so, you know, maybe you can take one of your podcasts to talk about yourself and share your testimony.
Yeah.
The thing about having your testimony recorded is that then at that point, other people can send it around the world and send it to people and say, hey, you know, you need to hear this guy's testimony. You know, he reminds me of you, or you could relate to this guy or something.
Right. Yes.
You know, so I appreciate having you on. Appreciate you making the time. So much of what I do is really, it's not my genius. It's just the people I have on. and hopefully I, you know, and it depends a lot on Providence, you know, who is available at, and if I can get some quiet, you know,
right,
in my chaotic world. But anyway, so hopefully, everybody, you'll be able to, you know, take something away from our discussion with Luke today, and use the, you know, and let's talk about it on our Reconstructionist Radio discussion group on Facebook. And don't forget the audiobooks, and don't forget to volunteer. If you've got also, if you've got blog articles or musings and you want to record it, and our testimonies, get them recorded, MP3s, and send them in to Jason Sanchez or myself, and we can put you on our No Neutrality or Once Dead. And because we want this to be an all-hands evolution, we want everyone to feel like this is something that you're invited and welcome to participate in. We want to celebrate the priesthood of every believer, men and women. And we thank you, Luke. You have any final word? What's your latest verse?
My latest verse is, well, it's two verses, really. I mentioned it on my first podcast, is Psalm 106:4. Remember me, O Lord, when you show favor to your people. Help me when you save them, that I may look upon the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. So that's one thing that, as a Reconstructionist, I want to see that happen in America. I want to look upon the prosperity of the righteous in America. And, you know, if there was a revolution tomorrow, or let's say Washington, D.C. fell into the earth and we needed a new government, the Christians would not know how to set up a new government. It would look just like the old one. So I long for the day when the Christians know what justice is and know what a godly government looks like, and then we will be able to. This is assuming that, you know, the gospel has gone forth mightily and many hearts have been changed, but we will be able to set up a godly government, one that reflects Scripture and not Enlightenment nonsense, and then we can watch the inevitable results of that righteous government being the prosperity of God's children. That's the first verse. The second verse, I'm trying to bring this back. I envision a day when the Christians, you know, we have our own flag, you know, the Christian flag, you know, and we have, you know, we have our own churches and all that kind of stuff. But I want to bring back the Israelite slogan for, you know, like, go get them. You're like, you know, break a leg, or, you know, their encouraging statement that they said to one another before they went into battle, or when they were about to take a huge, a massive undertaking, and that was, be strong and courageous. And I try to end my podcast by saying, be strong and courageous. I want Christians to be saying that to each other again, be strong and courageous. So I'm trying to bring back that one as well.
I thought they said Mazel Tov.
I guess many Israelites say that now,
listen, after you quoting Psalms, I hesitated to insert any levity in there. I thought that'd be anticlimactic. but then again, when you mentioned the Christian flag, I was thinking of the St. Andrew's cross. So, you know, what can I say?
Right.
But Joel McDermott may have something to say about that.
Oh, what's that?
Oh, just, I'm not, I just giving a shout out to Joel. He's writing a big book right now on slavery.
Okay.
And I think it is changing a lot of diehard neo-Confederates' view on the church's complicity.
Yes.
In the evil of that age. And,
yes.
You know, it was, and frankly, I'm a guy that, you know, kind of choked on that initially, but thank the Lord for Reconstructionist Radio.
Yes, that's right. Yes, exactly right. I love Reconstructionist Radio. I love all the people on there, man, too. It's a great bunch of people.
Well, we're glad to have you on the team. And no more new guy jokes. You've been on the War Room now, so that's your rite of passage.
Oh, thanks a lot. Well, let me just say to everyone, you know, tip your waitresses and try the veal.
Okay, brother. Well, thank you. And folks, thank you for joining us tonight on the War Room.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
Thank you for joining us in the War Room. Please enjoy The Nation's Rage, Psalm 2, by My Soul Among Lions.
Why do the nations rage? Why do the peoples rage?